Good morning. Happy Easter. I'm John Gentry, and it's certainly my pleasure to welcome all of you here today on this beautiful Easter morning. If we have any visitors, I know we do, and I would like to welcome you and ask you to please just fill out the registration pads at the end of the pew. We appreciate you coming. I have a couple of announcements. The teenagers, who are our 55 and above group, will be meeting Tuesday, April the 5th, at noon in the warehouse. Also, the youth are having a pancake breakfast Sunday, April the 3rd. Plates are $5, and you can buy them today, or you can even buy them at the door next Sunday. So let's, and by the way, they're very good, so let's just go support those youth and eat all those pancakes. They're good. Now I invite you all to share the peace of Christ.
Thank you.
Please stand for the call of worship. Remain standing, please, for the hymn of praise, number 302, where we'll be singing the first through the fourth verses. Rejoice, heavenly powers, sing, choirs of angels.
God,
that's throne. Jesus Christ, our King, is risen. Sound the trumpet of salvation. Rejoice, heavenly powers, sing, choirs of angels. Jesus Christ, our King, is risen. Affirmation of faith this morning is from 1 Corinthians. This is the good news which we have received, in which we stand, and by which we are saved. Christ died for our sins, was buried, was raised on the third day, and appeared first to the women, then to Peter and the 12, and then to many faithful witnesses. We believe Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of God, the firstborn of all creation, the firstborn from the dead, in whom all things hold together, in whom the fullness of God is pleased to dwell by the power of the Spirit. Christ is the head of the body, the church, and by the blood of the cross reconciles all things to God. Amen.
Thank you.
there's some children that could come up and hear my Easter story. Can you come up? Oh, wonderful. Look at those pretty dresses. 2,000 years ago, we didn't have pretty Easter dresses. I'm so glad to see everybody. Well, I'm going to tell you my Easter story. My name is Mary, and I was one of Jesus' followers. And 3 days after he was crucified, I went to the cave or tomb where he was put, where his body was put. And in front of the cave, there had been a big stone covering the entrance so no one could get in. But when I got there, the stone was rolled away. And I was very afraid. I wasn't going to go in by myself. So I ran to get two other people. One was Peter and one was John. They came back with me and we went into the cave or the tomb. All around the room were pieces of cloth. And neatly folded where Jesus was laid was the cloth that had covered his body. But he wasn't there. I began to cry because I thought someone had stolen his body and we couldn't have it with us anymore. Peter, he was just confused and wondered what had happened. But John believed. And he said, Jesus has done what he said he would do. Thank you, choir. Aren't they great? John believed that Jesus had risen as he said he would. And we all know that he did. Would you pray with me? Dear God, help us not to be sad. Help us not to be just curious. But help us to believe that Jesus has risen. Amen.
Thank you.
As we go to the Lord in prayer this morning, we ask that you please pray for those in the bulletin in the prayer list, and also include Becky Sage and Kathy G. Also, for Scott Noble and his family, for the passing of his sister, Connie Wells. Be with Scott and Mary during their travels. Let us pray. Lord, we rejoice. Lord, we give thanks. Lord, we come before you today in celebration to glorify you, to give praise and worship in honor of you and your resurrection. For you have defeated death and have conquered sin. We proclaim your victory for all of us today and are comforted by how much you truly love us unconditionally. For in the face of death, you show us life. In the face of violence and horror, you show us peace and hope. In the face of greed and anger, you offer generosity and mercy. The disciples were never the same after witnessing your resurrection. So help us take ownership of our faith, relying on your grace, that we may have the enthusiasm they had to tell others of your resurrection and your way. Your promises always stand true and never fail. Today and every day, fill us with passion to serve you, for you heal us and make us whole by your grace working within, giving us purpose and encouragement to love those who are deemed unlovable, to care and give comfort to those who are neglected, to share in hope with those who are ignored. For you free people to a life lived out of love and joy, escaping from despair and hopelessness. It is in the mighty name of Jesus we pray, and pray the prayer he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Our Give If You Can campaign was a six-week collection of food for food pantries in Little Rock during Lent. Thank you so very much for participating. There was over $2,500 worth of food donated to this mission to help feed the hungry. Amen. Let us pray. God, we gather as people who have been given to in abundance. So much love, so much opportunity in life, and so much generosity. Now, God, we give to you, for to give is to proclaim that you have made a difference in our lives. To give to you is to proclaim generosity in a culture of greed. We give that your kingdom would be made a reality in our world today. Amen.
Thank you.
Please remain standing for our hymn of meditation, Up From the Grave He Arose, on page 322.
Amen. Please be seated. I'm Reverend Chase Green. I'm associate pastor here at Asbury United Methodist Church, and I want to give a special welcome to all of you for being here on this fabulous Easter Sunday. I want to thank Stephen Eds. I want to thank our choir. I want to thank Angel, our handbells, and I want to thank our brass this morning for giving us tremendous music in honor of God. Amen. And I have a little thing I do every time I lead an Easter worship service. It's something I have to get off of my heart. It's something, a little exchange between me and the congregation. So how it goes is I will say, Christ is risen, and you will say, Christ is risen indeed. Ready? Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you. We now turn to our scripture passage in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Hear these words as they are read aloud. Iconic words, legendary words, words that have shaken the foundation of the earth. May they fall and rest upon our hearts and our minds in a fresh and new way. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he might rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us bow for a brief moment of prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, and speak to us. Your children are listening. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we ask. Amen. How many of you ever had your wisdom teeth taken out? It's a very interesting thing, isn't it? You're told by the dentist that you have these four large teeth that eventually will become painful or eventually will cause some trouble. Now, when it happened to me, my dad took me to the oral surgeon. I'm sitting back in the chair, and they give me some type of medication, and they tell me to count back from 100, and I make it to about 98, and then I pass out. And then I have no knowledge of what's happened. I wake up, I'm dizzy, I'm not really there, and I vaguely remember being carried to the car by my dad, and then we drive home. I don't remember that at all. I vaguely remember being taken down to my room, and then I crashed for several hours. I was doped up, and I looked like the Walking Dead because I had all these gauzes stuck in my mouth, and it was a very weird experience. And something started to happen. As the hours went by, the pain started to come back. The pain started to set in again. And in a strange way, I felt alive because I was like out of consciousness, right? But that pain, it gave me some kind of way of feeling alive again. So the question I want to ask you this morning is, what makes you feel most alive? What is it that makes you feel most alive? You know, I'm not a runner. I'll walk several miles, but I don't want to really run anywhere. Amen. But what I have noticed on my very quick commute to work each day is that every now and again there'll be this guy running down the street I'm driving by. And the first time I did it, he waved at me. And the first time it happened, I was like, "Do I know this person?" And so you're kind of curious. And then every now and again he would run by, and he would wave at me, and I started to pick up on the fact that he waved at me each time I drove by. And then a few more times later, I realized he wasn't just waving at me. He was waving at everybody that he passed running, just doing this little wave. Now, isn't it fascinating? That small little act, waving at random people while you're running by, it's a small way of showing joy to people you don't know. It's a small way of telling another person, I see you. I'm aware you're there. Look, right there. There's a connection. I don't know that person, don't know their name, but every time I drive by, he waves at me. A small act that has the potential to fill me with life. And I have to believe that for that man, there must be a reason behind him doing that. Maybe it gives him a sense of feeling alive too, and just waving, making folks feel happy. That feeling of being alive, it can run like adrenaline. And we can experience adrenaline in positive and negative ways. When there are crises that happen, we are filled with adrenaline that push us through a difficult moment, but we are fully alive, overcoming something. Or maybe it's something positive. Someone shares loving words or loving actions with you, and it fills you with a sense of feeling alive. You have to believe that when Mary saw that the stone was rolled away from the tomb, she was immediately filled with adrenaline, but not the good kind. She was scared. She was shocked. She was nervous. Imagine if a loved one of yours, a loved one where you know where their tombstone is, you know where their tombstone is in that cemetery, and you can picture it in your mind right now. Imagine you get to their spot, and the ground has been dug open. Their casket is gone. You'd be filled with the same emotions, wouldn't you? Powerlessness, fear. But as she runs and tells the disciples, and they in fact have the same adrenaline of what's going on, we encounter these situations that lead us to this empty tomb. This empty tomb. I tell you what makes me feel most alive, I've discovered over my 29 years, is when I am in service to others. When is the last time you served someone? Maybe it was part of your job. You're in the service industry. Maybe you didn't intend to serve or help that someone, but in fact, you did. Or maybe you went right out of your way to ensure a person you knew was going through a difficult crisis to help them, to give them comfort, to give them relief, to give them compassion. But you want to know something that's profound? And when we serve another, there is a flicker of a connection, of a connecting relationship. And it's no secret that in Christ's teachings, the way in which Christ exemplified his very life was that of a servant. that we would feel that same connection to Christ when we serve and to others when we serve them. It allows us to put ourselves in perspective with where we are in the world. It has us compare our circumstances to the other person's circumstances. But regardless of why we are serving, the risen Christ is present. It's fascinating that Mary doesn't know that Jesus is there. Thinks of him as the gardener. Must have been the nicest looking gardener you've ever seen in your life. But I think there's something special that Mary knows it's Jesus when Jesus utters her name. Mary. How often have you heard Jesus calling your name? Has it woken you up? Has it focused you onto Christ and the way in which Christ wants us to live? Saying your name, your personal name, builds that relationship that's strong, lasting, foundational. Mary has been said to have said the first sermon. Coincidentally, everyone's favorite sermon because it's the shortest and it's to the point. I have seen the Lord. Profound. Not only has she seen the risen Christ, but proclaims him as Lord. Quick and to the point. Something to think about is that when Jesus was weeping over his friend Lazarus' death, and Jesus performs that wondrous miracle of bringing him back from the dead, here's a Bible question for you all. What happened to Lazarus in a couple decades or three? He died again. He did. I say that to say that the resurrection of Lazarus and the resurrection of Jesus are two profoundly different things. Because of the resurrection of Jesus, Jesus is transformed. The whole system and world and universe is transformed. All things are made new. Because not only is Christ risen, but death has been defeated. Not only is Christ risen, but the sin that shackles us to this earth, that power is broken. Not only is Christ risen, but he gives us freedom to live and claim that holy life that Christ wants us to live. Christ so desperately knows. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, said in a sermon that when we come faith in Christ, when we have faith in the risen Christ and his resurrection, it is as if we are awakening from a deep slumber. That for years and years and years we've been sleeping. And when we have faith in Christ, we awake and know what is real. We become aware of our failings. We become aware of our weaknesses, our temptations. But more importantly, we become more aware that the risen Christ has the power to overcome all of those things. Amen? because Christ is risen, it changes everything. What makes you feel most alive? Perhaps it's gathering with friends and family and telling stories, laughter and joy. Maybe that gives you life. Maybe your job, genuinely the work you do, is fulfilling work. Gives you life. Maybe it's in your kids. Seeing your kids do things independently. Or seeing your grandkids for the first time, filling you with life. And what I want to proclaim this morning is that in each and every one of those, and many, many more, the truth is that the risen Christ is within each and every one of them, as a sign, as a symbol, as an arrow pointing to the risen Christ. So when you have laughter and joy with your friends and your family, that's life-giving. And life-giving comes from the Lord. When you do fulfilling work in your job, maybe you're helping others, maybe you're solving problems or crises, that is life-giving, and life-giving comes from the risen Christ. Maybe we know for certainty that when we see children and grandchildren, there is life. So when we leave here today, promise me something. Do your best to proclaim the risen Christ in your everyday living. You know, technically, each and every Sunday, we celebrate Easter. And we may not necessarily say Christ is risen, but there are references, there are hints, there are symbols, there are signs that point to where our foundation lies, and that is within the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So each and every day, call upon the risen Christ for aid and help. Each and every day, look closely, deeply, with your eyes that have awakened from the deep slumber, eyes that have awakened from the doped up, drugged up, wisdom teeth surgery, and look for the risen Christ, because he is alive, he is living, and he will overcome every circumstance, no matter what the news tells us, no matter what politicians tell us, no matter whoever tells us, Christ overcomes all of these horrors and gives to us life. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us be standing as we sing. As we sing with gusto, He Lives, on page 310. There are those who'd like to come forward for a time of prayer, to reaffirm your faith, or to join the life of our church. We welcome you forward at this time. thank you so much for being here today. It was a joy to see all of you. Remember that Christ is risen. And the way that others encounter the risen Christ is through your words and your actions. So go forth and proclaim Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.